an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? We heard the good news in Sunday school. The good news that all men need to hear, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to this earth. He became a man. He came and he became a man, lived a perfect life, died in our place, rose again. And he came and he brought this life that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing thing. That's amazing news that the Lord Jesus Christ would become sin for us. You and I who were sinners, he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is the best news that anyone could ever hear in this world. And as we think about that, we know we have that message now in the New Testament. It's been revealed. It was concealed. It was a mystery at one point, the gospel. And now it has been revealed that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have everything. Think about all of the things that we just read. Look in chapter 1 of Ephesians, of just all the things that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 of Ephesians and verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you know, you and I, what an amazing thing to think about. We can have the fullness of Christ in us. Why? Because the moment of salvation, God didn't hold anything back from us. But the Lord Jesus came to dwell inside of us, and every bit of God is dwelling inside of us as the Lord Jesus Christ indwells us. And that's an amazing thing to think about, that there is no shortage of what God can do in our lives because why? We have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us. It says there in verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power. Meaning there's no limit to his power. It's exceeding great above all that we could ever imagine. His power to usward who believe. This is what Christ is to us. And Christ is this to us while we were far off, like we heard this morning. That's good news that Christ came to dwell inside of us. Even while we were sinners in chapter 2, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins. When we had committed this sin against our Creator God, while we had disobeyed him, God didn't leave us. He still loved us. He wanted to make a way that we could be with him again. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in through Christ Jesus. That his love was so great that he was willing to send the Lord Jesus to die for us. We who were dead and who needed someone to die and to rise again in our place, the Lord Jesus did this for us. Why? Just because he loved us. There's no other reason why God of heaven would come to earth and die for sinners. There's no other reason but that he loved us. and that he gave his life for us for this reason only, his love for us. This is what we find, our union now with Christ. It's amazing to know that in Christ Jesus, we have all these things. And we go on to read, we read some of those verses this morning, that now we were afar off in verse number 13. We who were afar off from God, we who were far off, separated by sin, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made nigh by his blood and his sacrifice. And that alone is what makes peace, as we read in the next verse, between us and the Father. That's the only way. The only way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the only name. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the only way. And we go through and we read in chapter 3, the mystery has been revealed that God has not left his people and God has not forsaken us. No, he loved us so much that he gave the Lord Jesus. And we go on and we read about what we have in him and what we ought to be doing for him now. And then as we get to chapter number 6, we read about the battle that we have now to fight. Why? Because sin still is in our lives, isn't it? Sin still is there. It's still trying to sneak its way into ruining all that God wants to do in our lives. Why? Because we're not in the perfect creation yet. We're not in his perfect heaven and perfect earth that he will one day create. We're still living in this sin-cursed world. And we know that God is working, but Satan is working as well. And he's trying to do everything he can to fight against all that God wants to do in this world. And it says there in verse number 11, and we'll start in verse number 10 of chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because the adversary has a purpose and he has a plan, just as God has a plan for our lives. His plan is to ruin and destroy what God wants to do in our lives. But God wants us to fight the fight against this enemy. He wants us to stand strong. He wants us to go and to fight this battle that he has called us to fight. And we read about the armor there. But I believe as we get to verse number 18, we get to our greatest resource in this battle. We find the true power of what God has for us to fight in this fight as we yield to the Lord Jesus with the life that we have. How do we find the power that he was talking about earlier in the book? How do we find the strength? How do we find the riches of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives? Well, look in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. And I believe this is the resource that we find. That's how we access God's power and his strength in our lives, is prayer. And Paul continues to go on into verse 19. And he says, and for me, he says, pray for me. I need prayer. The apostle Paul here, he says, I need your prayers. The one that God had given so much ability and so much just blessing in his ministry, he said, I need your prayers. He said that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I just want to really zero in on that last phrase there this morning as the Lord just leads us, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray you just help us this morning. We need your strength. We need your ability, Lord. We want to hear from you this morning. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help your word to just speak to us this day. We do not want to hear from anyone but you today, Lord. And we pray you would just speak to us. Lord, we pray you would just remove distractions from our minds. Lord, help us just to get anything settled between us and you, that we might not have our fellowship hindered with you, Lord, but that you might speak to us and that you might reveal to us your purpose for our lives and your plan. We pray you just help all of our hearts to be open to your word and your will. It's in the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as we look at this, Paul is saying here, listen, I need prayer in this battle. This battle, we know Paul, he went through so many things in his life, didn't he? He went through such persecutions that we probably will never know in our lives. There may be some that have suffered the way that Paul suffered for their faith, but so many will not ever know exactly the suffering that Paul went through, as the Lord Jesus and the Lord God said, you will know what things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Paul truly did. But he said, I need to have boldness to speak as I ought to speak. Amen. And that's what Paul's prayer was. He had the strength, didn't he, in the Lord Jesus in his life. He had the power. He had all of it right at his access. But he was asking for others to pray for him, that he would be able to do what he needed to do in what God had called him to do. God had put a calling on Paul's life, hadn't he? God had a specific plan for his life, and a plan that only Paul was built and designed to do, but Paul still needed that prayer for boldness to do what God had called him to do. As I just want to preface this morning, what has God called you and me to do this morning? What has he given us to do specifically? Maybe that no one else in this world will be able to do but you and me, as God leads us specifically. There's a specific calling that God has for each and every one of our lives. But do you know what? It will never be done still without asking God, God, help me to be bold to do what you've called me to do in your strength and in your power for your name's sake. Have we sought to do something for the Lord, but have we ever tried to do it without his power behind it? I know I have. You've gone through the motions, maybe. You said, I know I need to do this. I need to just go to church. I need to pray. I need to do all these things. But we missed God's power behind it in our lives. That's why we need God's boldness on our lives. We need to pray for this boldness and his strength to do what we need to do. Have we ever just thought, why am I even doing this anyway? What's even the purpose of doing what the Lord has given me to do? Is it really going to work out in my best interest? That's always a question that so oftentimes Satan wants to bring into our lives, isn't it? Is God's will really best for your life? Or can you just sit back and go through the motions, go through life, and just think that everything's going to be all right and you'll just make it all right? Is that what Satan tries to tempt us with so oftentimes? Only through the Lord's power can we do what we ought to do with our lives. And God wants to show us truly his will is best for our lives. His way is best for our lives. And what he's given us to do is what is best for our lives. Look at what Paul is praying for here in the verse here, in verse number 19. His first prayer is simply in what God's called him to do here as he speaks the gospel. He says, that utterance may be given unto me. He's praying first that he might just be able to speak, to say anything at all. You know, there were so many that were coming and were persecuting Paul so greatly because they wanted to just silence him completely, because it was going against all that they had lived for, all that they had worked up in their lives. They had lived for these false gods so long in their lives. They had made their livelihood, many of them, off of these false gods and these false idols. And for Paul to come and just turn their world around, they're saying, listen, this man is going to ruin everything that we've done in our lives and going to ruin our livelihood. We read about that, some of those men that were selling those idols and some of those different things, and they wanted to just completely silence Paul. And Paul says, I need boldness that I'll first even be able to speak to anyone. God has worked in a way, hasn't he, that he wants to speak through you and through me. God wants to speak through us. He has made it so that we might be instruments, it says, instruments of righteousness unto him, that he might use us like a piano player plays the piano. It's nothing without the piano player. That's what God wants to come and to use us as an instrument to be used for him. Why? Because we don't have a message, do we? We don't have anything good to say in of ourselves, but God's message, as he speaks through us, he has a message to speak to people. You and I, we ought to come to people and to say, listen, there is a God that loves you, and I am his messenger, and I want to tell you that he loves you, that I love you, and that God wants to do something with your life. He loved you so much, he sent the Lord Jesus to die for you and to rise again. How oftentimes have we just been so tempted by Satan to just simply not do anything at all, to just let people slide by? I'm so guilty of this in my own life. And I know that the Lord wants to speak through me, but how oftentimes do we even have the courage to say anything at all? This boldness, we know, it does not come through us. It doesn't come through our power. If we're bold in ourselves, we have no reason to be bold. We have no goodness. We have no message. The only boldness that we ought to speak through is the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you and me. Paul says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He was yielded to the Spirit, and he was asking them, pray for the Spirit to do his work in my life and his work in their lives. That was the boldness that he had. And do we have that boldness to even say simply anything at all? God wants to use us, doesn't he? He wants to. And it may not even be speaking to someone. We know that God has called all of us to be a witness, but it goes for anything that the Lord has called us to do in our lives. Will we even do it with our lives, or will we just simply say, it'll be easier just to do nothing at all and to just live my life and just go through my life and go through all the motions and just get through life? Is that the temptation that you and I are facing this day, to just sit idly by and do nothing? I think that's such a temptation in the world today, isn't it? Just to be lazy, to do nothing. That's always a temptation, isn't it? To just let our life slip by when God says, I have a window of your life that I want to use you. And before you know it, it's going to be gone. And you'll be in heaven or you'll be in hell for eternity. And this is what the Lord has given to us, just this window of time for us to do what he's called us to do. And will we do it, or will we simply just sit idly by? I pray that I wouldn't do that with my life, as the Lord helps. And then a second thing, look at another thing that Paul is praying for. Not just that utterance may be given to him, but then that I may open my mouth boldly. Then that he would speak, and that he would speak boldly, that he would do God's will for his life. Look at this. Paul, in the book of Acts, he's always speaking boldly, and the apostles are speaking boldly, but they're speaking boldly because they're speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they had boldness. They said, we cannot help but speak boldly. of the things which we've seen and heard.
Yeah.
Because God had done a work in their lives. God had done something in their lives. And they had to tell people that God could do the same in their lives. That He wanted to make a difference in our lives. I'm so guilty of it as anyone else. God has done an amazing work in my life. But so oftentimes, don't have the boldness to tell other people about the thing, the change that He can have in their lives as well. The Lord Jesus has come to live inside of me and change my life.
Yeah.
And will I tell other people about the change that they can have? So many people, like we heard about this morning, are thirsting after something, aren't they? They have a thirst for something. And they don't know what it is all the time. But we have the answer, don't we? We have the bread of life. We have the water that satisfies, and they'll never thirst again. And so oftentimes we don't have the boldness to say, this is it. You can stop searching because I'm giving you Jesus, and that's all you'll ever need.
Right.
And this is what so oftentimes are we opening our mouth boldly of what the Lord has done in our lives. We need that boldness that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ indwelling us. And we must be yielded as well to the Holy Spirit to have the boldness that's needed when He wants to speak through us. Why? Because there ought to be no flesh that's glorying in our sight. We are not glorying in ourselves, but in the Holy Spirit that is speaking through us and using us to do what only He can do in our lives. God has a purpose for our lives, but only through His Holy Spirit can it be accomplished. And then lastly, here, not only just that He might simply speak, that utterance may be given unto Him, not only that He might speak boldly, but that He might make known the mystery of the gospel. The message that he had was the greatest message, like we heard, the best news that anyone could ever hear was the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die and arise again, that He might fill us with His Spirit and have His power in our lives. We need that, don't we? We need that news in our own lives. Is it worth something to us to have the Lord Jesus? And then, are we telling people that the gospel can now be theirs? No longer do they have to be separated from God. No longer does the world have to live being just a life of separation from their Creator. No, they can have a relationship with Him this day.
Right.
And only God does this work as He speaks through us to people's lives. The mystery of the gospel can only be revealed to people through His Holy Spirit, as His Holy Spirit works through us. He desires to use us. And that's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? That the God of all creation would want to use you and me to do His work. There's so many things that I'm so thankful the Lord has given me the opportunity to do. He's given us the opportunity to work at this camp this summer. And you know, we saw so many kids that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And you know what's amazing about that is that how open their hearts were and how soft and how tender their hearts were, so many of them just to know the truth. And when something like that happens, you say, this is no man's work. This is God's work. That He reveals the truth, even to these little kids. Kids as young as 7 and 8 and 9 years old had just such an understanding of the truth of God's word. And they would come and they would say, I want to know how I can be saved. And what an amazing thing to think about. This is how God wants to work in our lives, to be a witness of the gospel in other people's lives. This is what God has commanded us to do, to be used as an instrument of righteousness unto Him. God no longer wants us to be used as instruments of unrighteousness. Isn't that the amazing thing? At one point, you and I, we were used by Satan. We were just simply used by Satan as a tool to do his wicked and evil works in this world. And that was all that we could do. We had no power, no strength to do anything good in ourselves. And so all we were just used as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin and unto death and unto ruin to our life and to the lives of others around us. But now, in Christ Jesus, he wants to use us as an instrument of righteousness. What an amazing thing to think about. That now we can have fruit that remains, not just fruit in this life, it says in the book of Romans, but eternal fruit. Fruit unto everlasting life, it says. And God wants to use us to make an eternal difference in this world. That's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? You and I, we had no power, no strength to do anything good of ourselves. But God says, I want to use you to be making a difference for eternity in this world. And it comes as we do what God has given us to do, as we speak, as we are yielded to the Lord to be used of him boldly in this world. This is how God uses us. And as he comes to the end of the verses here that we were going to, in verse 20, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And you know, Paul says, it's not that the Lord is forcing me to do any of these things. The Lord was never forcing Paul to be this witness for him. The Lord was never forcing Paul to be a bold witness for him. No, Paul says, I'm doing all of this that I might do as I ought to do. Why was there an ought in Paul's life? Because of all that God had done in his life. For all that the Lord had done for him, he says, I ought to do all these things. And I must not sin against the Savior who loved me and died for me and gave himself for me. He said, the love of Christ, the same one, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me, that I might not sin against this love, that I might no longer live unto myself, but unto him who died for me, who gave his life for me, Paul said. I must no longer live my life to myself any longer. But there was an ought in Paul's life that he might now serve God with his life. Can I ask you, has God done something in your life? God's done something in my life. He saved me. He's given me a reason to live. He's given me a purpose for living. He saved my soul from an eternity separated from him. That's reason enough to serve him and to give my life for him, let alone the blessings on top of blessings that he just gives over and over and over again. Is there not a cause to serve him with our lives? And Paul says, I'm doing all of this. I'm giving him my life just because I ought to give it to him. Not because he's making me, but because I ought to serve him with my life. Amen. Has God done something for you? Yep. Has he given you something to live for? Yep. If he has, then there is an ought to our lives that we might serve God with what he's done for us. Lord, we pray you just help us now. Help us to serve you as we ought to. We pray that you would just forgive us where we fail you so often to serve you and to give our lives to you. We pray you would forgive us where we just miss the opportunities that you give and where we are tempted by Satan to think that we can just live our lives letting each moment pass and our life will have any purpose and any meaning to it. Lord, help us just to be yielded to you, to do your will for our lives. We know you want what is best. And we know there is a great purpose and a great ought in our lives that we ought to serve you for all you've done for us. We pray you'd do this, that you might receive all honor and glory. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. And let's be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Great message this morning. Paul was not above asking for prayer, and neither should we. He is praying for utterance, that he would utter the name of Christ. How many times do we get tight-lipped about that? I can certainly raise my hand. For those of us here that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that ought to be something that we want. We want others to pray for us. We want the Lord to give to us to utterance and to open our mouth boldly and then to make known the mystery of the gospel, because somebody did that for us. Let me ask you a quick question. If you are here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you, would you, with the raising of your hands, just say, Brother Garcia, I know without a doubt I'm saved. I know Christ is my Savior. Thank you. God bless you. How many of you would say, now would you pray for me? Because that message spoke to my heart. I want to be the witness. Now, maybe you are a witness, but maybe to an even greater level, and you raise your hand. Help me, Lord. Help me to be a witness for Christ. Help me to utter his name. Help me to do it boldly. Help me to make known the mystery of the gospel. So many of you raised your hand. But let me ask you a question here. If you're here without Jesus Christ, how many of you would say, Pastor Garcia, I don't know for certain that if I died, that I would go to heaven. And I'm concerned about my soul. Would you please pray for me? Is there someone that would raise your hand and say, I don't know for sure. God bless you. There's a hand raised. Is there anybody else you'd say, I don't know for certain that if I died, that I would go to heaven? Then I would urge you to trust Jesus Christ today. If you have your hand up right now, would you just look at me? Would you like to get saved and know that for sure? Why don't you come on up right now? We'll have somebody show you. Somebody will show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Come on up. Brother Jordan, would you work with Brandon right here? Brandon, you can just come right over here with Brother John. Thank you. Yes. Let's just continue to be praying. If God's spoken to your heart as a believer in Christ, then maybe a good trip to the altar, talk to the Lord about what he's spoken to your heart about, and be the witness that he's called us to be. Just let him use us in whatever way he wants to use us. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for this message that we've just heard. Lord, help us, just as the Apostle Paul wanted those to be praying for him. He certainly wanted you to work in his life, to be a bold witness for Christ. Would you help us? Help us to be witnesses for you. You didn't save us so that we could just lounge around or be complacent, as we heard, to be lazy, but help us to be faithful witnesses. Your word tells us that just to give our lives back to you, we can never repay you, we know that, but to give our lives back to you in gratitude is our reasonable service. Help us to do what's just reasonable. Help every one of us. And so we pray, as this invitation plays itself out, that you'll work in each and every heart. And Lord, if there are more in this room here today that don't know Christ, I pray for each and every one of them, Lord, that you would help them to make that decision to trust Christ as Savior. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Ray's